Stand by. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM Corporation Tivoli Talk Maximo 7.1 Launch Overview Conference Call. If you need assistance logging on to the presentation, you can same time Sarah Molnar. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Lee Blakemore. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, and good morning to the folks in Americas, and good afternoon to the folks in Europe. Thank you for joining the call. We have a very large audience, so I appreciate everyone coming out. And I should officially welcome you to the Tivoli Talk Maximo Asset Management series of webcasts. This series has been developed primarily for the Maximo brand, you know, in America's Group and in EMEA, but also other brands, geos, and business partners are welcome to attend. Beginning today and through the end of May, webcasts have been scheduled to deliver the important information for Maximo Asset Management 7.1 and the migration to Passport Advantage. Please check to make sure you've added these calls to your calendars and diaries. There are several upcoming, so I would really ask everybody to make sure they can attend if possible. Today we are pleased to have Rich Kaplow, who I think many of you know, but if you don't know, Rich is the Maximo Strategy and Planning Market Manager. He will kick off the series with information regarding what's new in the Maximo Asset Management 7.1 upcoming release. Rich will also discuss the solution, messaging, pricing, and packaging. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions, and your participation is welcomed and appreciated. This session and all future sessions are recorded and will be posted to Extreme Leverage. The follow-on Tivoli Talks in this series will cover additional detail on Maximo Asset Management Essentials, Maximo Linear Asset Management, and IT solutions including Tivoli Asset Management for IT and Tivoli Service Request Manager. Thank you, and enjoy today's session.
Thank you, Lee. This is Rich Kaplow, and I am in the market management organization at Tivoli, and it's my pleasure today to describe to you what we are very proud to release in the form of the version 7 of Maximo. So I hope everybody's got the slides available and up in front of them at this time. I'd like to start out by talking about the fact that the version 7 release of Maximo is, in fact, made up of four different distinct products. Maximo Asset Management version 7.1 is one of those products. Tivoli Asset Management for IT is another. Tivoli Service Request Manager and Tivoli CCMDB. These are all part of the common platform, the common technology, and common architecture of these Tivoli four Tivoli products. It's very important for all of us to understand that the top-level context here, in fact, is very important. The fact that these four products for IT asset management, for enterprise asset management, for service desk, service catalog, and CCMDB capabilities are all built on a common architecture that does not require any integration in order for customers to deploy and implement these solutions in their environment. Quite often, customers will ask us how they would be able to use an IT asset management solution with a service desk solution. And quite often, it's because the market has been conditioned to understand that, in fact, these sorts of solutions need to be integrated together. And in comparison to Peregrine, for example, having an asset management product and a service desk product that came through acquisitions needed to be integrated in a very complex services engagement. And, in fact, this is something that is not required with our solution and these released products. So this is a significant competitive advantage for IBM Tivoli. These products, these four products we're looking at here, are all, again, based on a same seamless architecture that allows for seamless workflow and business processes across these four products. The Tivoli Talk series that we're starting off with today is going to be launching into these four products going forward. And you can see the dates of these different releases, these different Tivoli Talks going forward through April and into May. But I also want to emphasize that the GA, the general availability of these products that I'm talking about, are in fact shipping May 16th of 2008. So it's just a few short weeks away when we will be releasing Maximo Asset Management, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, and Tivoli Service Request Manager. the Tivoli CCMDB product released in December of 2007. And again, I just want to emphasize that there will be Tivoli Talks on these other products coming up over the course of the next few weeks. So today's Tivoli Talk is focused on the Maximal 7-1 Asset Management Overview. And I will be able to describe to you today some of the top-level messaging and pricing and packaging, as Lee mentioned. But I also want to point out that we've also got some deep-dive Tivoli Talks scheduled that are on the calendar, where we will go into quite a bit more depth and detail around the additional capabilities within Maximo 7-1, specifically the Maximo 7-1 Linear Asset Manager, which will be presented by Ken Donnelly, and the Maximo 7-1 Asset Management Essentials product, which will be presented by Dan Matlis. And so you should expect to see great deal of follow-up detail on both those additional products under this umbrella of Maximo Asset Management as an EAM solution. In addition to that, there will be some other Passport Advantage Tivoli Talks that focus specifically on the use of Passport Advantage and some additional information about pricing and entitlement migration. You can see the dates for those upcoming Tivoli Talks as well. So with that, I would like to move on to the topic for today, which is the Maximo 7-1 Asset Management Solution. And I want to start out by painting a picture for you about how important it is for our customers to be able to solve the important critical problems of managing the assets across their enterprise. And if you just think about the four asset classes that we've used historically to describe how Maximo is used by our customers, we've talked about the classes of assets like production equipment, which includes the industrial machinery that you'd find on a shop floor. It includes operating assets you'd find at a utility. The second category here are facilities. These would be airports, military bases, hotels, casinos, and so on. The next category being transportation assets, over-the-road vehicles, trucks, rail, and aircraft. And then historically, we've talked about extending our business over the years into IT, hardware, and software asset management. With Maximo 7-1, we're adding an additional category of assets here relating to linear assets. And when you look at the sheer dollar value of some of these assets, you can realize that, in fact, just looking at a subset of those assets, the value is over $170 trillion worth of assets in use today across the world. And, in fact, companies desperately need to be able to extend the life of those assets. They need to be able to make them more reliable, and they need to make sure that they produce better quality. And so in order to do that, one of the ways they accomplish that, those objectives is to be able to maintain them more effectively. And software and services are the means by which they can accomplish that. And, in fact, these customers spend $1.5 billion per year on software and services to meet those objectives for those critical assets. Now, IBM Tivoli, in fact, sells the best solutions in the industry. And the validation for that is, in fact, from Gartner. You can see an example of a Gartner Magic Quadrant here identifying IBM as not only in the leader segment in this Magic Quadrant, but also as the leader, the most highly placed leader in this leadership quadrant. So the solutions that we sell to address these different asset classes across the market are these, and you can see how this portfolio maps to these the needs of these different types of assets I was just describing. IBM Maximo Asset Management, plus our industry solutions that are focused on bringing to market very specific, deep industry functionality for particular vertical markets. So life sciences, utilities, oil and gas, nuclear, and government are examples of those industry solutions for relating to primarily those types of production equipment assets. And facilities, we address the needs of with IBM Maximo Asset Management. In the case of transportation assets, we have the industry solution for Maximo for transportation. And then the next aspect of this, which is new for Maximo 7-1, is the Maximo Linear Asset Manager. And as I said, that will be discussed in more detail in a subsequent Tivoli talk. And then lastly, the IBM Tivoli Asset Management for IT. Now, the graph you can see in the lower right of this slide refers to the five key processes that are so important for getting the most value out of these assets and being able to optimize their use for the enterprise. And it has to do with asset management, optimizing inventory, making sure you've got an efficient work labor force, contract management, and then procurement. And supporting those key processes are very critical to our customers, and that's the basis of the excellent solutions that we provide in the form of these Maximo solutions. Just moving on to look at a little bit more detail of the asset management portfolio. We have the industry solution, the core products I was just mentioning, Maximo Asset Management, Maximo Asset Management Essentials, and Tivoli Asset Management for IT. We have the industry solutions I just mentioned, and then we have a series of add-on solutions, which we have been shipping for some time in the form of the Maximo Change and Corrective Action Manager, Maximo Calibration, Maximo Asset Configuration Manager, Maximo Spatial, which shipped for the first time last summer, Maximo SLA Manager, our new service provider product, and then lastly, Asset Navigator. Now, in addition to that, we are, as I said, introducing Maximo Linear Assets. And then lastly, we have a series of options that help add value to those different solutions. And this comes in the form of the mobile products that we sell, both Work and Inventory Manager, the ERP adapters that allow our customers to connect Maximo to either SAP or Oracle ERP systems, and then also likewise other adapters for Microsoft Project Primavera. The generic enterprise adapter that you see here is actually shipped with all of our products except for the Maximo Asset Management Essentials, which for which the generic enterprise adapter is an option. It's sold as an option to that that particular product. And then lastly, the compliance assistance documentation. This next slide gives you a sense of timeline, how these were released on the Maximo 7 Foundation over the course of the rest of the year and into early 2009. So very specifically, the products that we are going to release on May 16th are the Maximo Asset Management product, Asset Management Essentials product, Tivoli Asset Management for IT, Linear Assets, as well as Change and Corrective Action Manager, SLA Manager, and Asset Navigator, which will all be updated on the Maximo 7.1 platform as of May 16th, and in addition to that, the Enterprise Adapter, as you see here. And then subsequent quarters, you can see the staged and phased release of the industry solutions and some of the other products in our portfolio in Q3 of 2008, again in Q4 of 2008, and then the first half of 2009. We expect to complete the transition and port of all of our portfolio products over to the Maximo 7 code base. So from here, I would like to take us through three key areas. First of all, the enhanced capabilities that will be available within Maximo 7. And for that, I will turn it over to Dave Gastia. And when he's finished, I will come back and spend more time talking about the new customer value that we deliver with Maximo 7. And then lastly, wrapping up with some discussion of our pricing and packaging strategies. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Dave Gastia to continue the presentation at this point.
Okay, thank you, Rich. Again, my name is Dave Gastia. I am the manager of the Design and Architecture Group, which is part of the development organization. Tonight, we're just going to go through some of the highlights of some of the major enhancements we've made as part of the 7.1 release. I guess before we really kick off, I just wanted to point out the fact that with this release, we had a couple of major objectives. The first objective was really to add functionality to help lower the cost of implementation as well as lowering the total cost of ownership, which is maintaining Maximo. So there's a number of enhancements that I'll walk through related to some administrative capabilities to help our customers configure and maintain the system. In addition to managing the cost of running Maximo, we wanted to, of course, maintain our leadership position in the EAM market, and so there's a number of enhancements that we've done to our work management and asset applications. And then, of course, one of the other objectives, of course, is to continue down a path of the asset convergence, which we started with MXES and will continue as we move forward into future releases. This first slide that we're looking at, although Rich mentioned there'll be a deep dive talk around linear assets later this month. I felt it was something that we wanted to point out tonight. It's one of the major enhancements we've made around support for EAM functionality. We've always, if you look at the left-hand slide here, we're looking at traditional nonlinear assets that we've always been able to manage and maintain within Maximo, whether it was mobile, fixed, facilities, et cetera. These are something we've always been able to work with in Maximo and continue to work with. The new functionality is all around linear assets, so basically the ability to support maintenance to roads, railways, pipelines, et cetera. And so there's a significant amount of functionality around managing linear assets and the features associated with those and the work that you do on those assets. So, again, we'll have a deep dive later this month to get through that in a lot more detail. Okay, now as we start to go through the next few slides, this first one, conditional and dynamic security, these are some enhancements we've made, again, to really make it a little easier for our customers to manage and maintain the system. If we look at the first bullet here, data restrictions, these are something that we actually already have within Maximo 6. However, what we've done here is made it more dynamic in the sense that you can apply conditions to some of the restrictions that you might want to put on to either objects, applications, or attributes, which would be fields within an application. When you set these conditions, you'll have the ability to make fields either read-only or hidden. And we've got a few examples here where you might want to, for a specific security group, go in and say that perhaps they can't, view a work order if it's in waiting approval status. In other words, while a planner or scheduler is creating the work, don't let other tradesmen take a look at it. You may want to be able to hide other fields or maybe not let someone, modify a record based on some condition or the group perhaps that they're in. So it gives you a lot more flexibility in setting the types of restrictions up that previously you would have had to done through either field control or extending class files within the system. Now you can do it through some of our security configuration capabilities. And again, this is done all through the security group applications. If you look at the lower bullet, application access, again, this is already exists within the system. This is where you go up and you define for each security group which applications the group would have access to, whether they have read, write, delete, modify, access, etc. And that's all still there. Again, the big additional piece we put here is that now you can have conditions associated with the access to these either applications or actions. A good example specifically around the actions is that perhaps you only want your maintenance group to be able to change the status of a work order as long as there's a job plan associated to the work order. So move it from, waiting approval to approval. So you can build those types of conditions in and associate them to the access to the data within the system. One piece that I don't mention here, or we don't have listed here, but I'll mention, is we have developed what we'll call a conditional expression builder, which allows you to build various libraries of that can then be applied either in the data restrictions or these application access restrictions. So you get reuse without having to re-enter all the conditions that you want to leverage. If we look at the next level of some dynamic capability, it's around the user interface. So we've got now the ability to have some conditional control, not only of the fields, like I talked about in the previous slide, but now we can do fields, table windows, tabs, buttons, actions, etc. So you will have the ability to either make fields read-only or hidden at the application level. So some examples here that perhaps is based on an asset type, you may want to hide a tab, in this case the safety tab, if the asset is an IT asset. Or perhaps based on different user groups, you want to change different labels, either of fields or tabs on the application. So again, you'll be able to do this all through our configuration tools. In this case, to modify or set these conditions at the application level, you do it through the application designer. And again, as you do this, just like all the configuration capabilities in Maximo, they're all moved forward as you move from release to release. Now, as we go to the next slide here, here we're showing the fact that Maximo over the past few releases has always been very configurable. And we've actually increased the amount of data that can be configured or the way the system can be configured from release to release, from release 5 to 6, and of course now in 7 we're doing more to make the system even more configurable. Now, this has been a real selling point and real benefit to our customers. One of the problems that we've heard over the last few releases, though, is that as we get more and more configuration capabilities, it's become more of a challenge for either our consulting services groups or our customers who are doing the configurations to be able to move those from one environment to the other. So they may spend months creating these configurations and getting the system set up the way they want it to work in production. Of course, they're doing it in a development environment. So now the next task is trying to figure out how to move them from development to a test to a production. And so with this release, we're introducing something we'll call Migration Manager, which allows you to manage these configurations across the different environments. So here's a diagram of what we're actually trying to say here, which is, you know, you do all your configuration changes within the development environment. You can then create the bundles of those configuration changes and deploy those out into a test environment, and then from a test, deploy that out to one or more production environments. So this gives it a much more controlled way of taking those configurations and the investment in time and money that it took to get there and easily deploy it out across your environment. Now, on this slide, really, this is just a little high-level overview of the process that you'd go through to actually create these deployment packages. It's an administrative function, of course, so you have access to go in and define the types of data that you want to create the bundle for. We can move anything in the database, so, you know, your normal configurations, workflows, domains, anything really that's stored in the database you can pull into a package. You also have the ability to take your XML files or class files and include those in a bundle. So if you, for example, created a custom application and associated with that, you have, of course, the UI, but you also have business objects, the definition, the tables that might go with that. You may also have class files for the business rules. You can create a bundle, define that, create the package, distribute it, which is really just the ability to export it from your source development environment, and then deploy it, so import it into the target environments, and then deploy it and apply those changes. And it keeps all these together. Now, as part of this process, you'll be able to either define what we would call snapshot, which would be for the selected objects that you're trying to collect, we'd collect everything at that point in time and then allow you to deploy it out through your environment. Or you could take a delta, which would be changes since the last time you might have deployed the package. Just capture the changes and then deploy those out. So it's a quick way to get updates out from a development environment through tests and into production. Now, a couple other benefits, in addition to just moving configuration data, this tool can be used to take any kind of content stored within Maximo and distribute it or deploy it out across multiple environments. So we're already starting to see some of the other development groups that are building out some of the other Tivoli products using the Maximo architecture. They're going to use this as a way to deliver content that might meet some of the best practices and help our customers actually get up and running quicker. So they'll create predefined bundles of data and then make those available to customers to deploy as part of their implementation. So we think there's going to be a lot of interest in this functionality and certainly lots of uses for it as we move forward. Okay, so those were some of the highlights of some of the administrative enhancements and, again, the things that we've added to help lower the costs of ownership and implementation of the system. We'll now go through a couple of the enhancements, some of the high-level enhancements around the work management applications. We've added a number of things to work orders and job plans. I guess that some of the big ones are that we've added the ability to define multiple assets or locations on a work order. There's now a multi-asset location table. This could be used for many different things with associated routes to it. So if you have a simple route, rather than having to generate, you know, multiple work orders to execute the route, which might be an inspection or something, you can now generate the route onto a single work order. The the list of assets or locations would be included in this multi-asset table, and then you can just manage it much more easily. So that's been added. We've added some functionality around the ability to plan out an asset, a swap of assets. Again, in Release 6, we had the ability to move an asset, and so upon completion of a work order, the actual move transaction would be recorded. We've now enhanced that so you can actually do an asset swap on a single step as well. So that can be planned on the work order, and again, upon completion of the work order, the assets would be swapped and recorded within the asset application. A big chunk of new functionality we added is around what we call automated flow control for the work order tasks. And really what this allows you to do is to set up and define the precedence, in other words, the order that the tasks on a job plan or a work order get executed. So you can define this on the on a job plan, for example, and then as the job plan gets applied to the work order, you might want to allow you to control that perhaps steps 1 and 2 must be complete prior to executing and working on step 3. So you can now set up this complex workflow control, and it can be managed by status and allow you to make sure that the work of the tasks are done in the correct order and executed properly. Something that kind of gets tied into this is we've modified the activity application. It's now called Activities and Tasks. And this allows users to go in and manage the status or the updates at the task level. So rather than having to go into a complete work order and look up a specific task that you might be assigned to, you can go into the task application, call that task up, report against it, modify the status, and then move on. So it just makes it a little bit easier for the end users that are working on the assigned tasks to record their updates against those tasks. I mentioned that job plans, we added the flow control capability. We made a couple of other significant enhancements. The first one is the nested job plan capability. This basically allows you to build out a job plan and refer to other job plans within it. So you can basically build out a library of job plans that then can be used to build out a master job plan. So you basically get the ability to reuse the steps defined in other job plans. What happens is when that job plan gets used on a work order, the nested job plans become and build out the work order hierarchy. So you could have a huge work plan defined into the job plan, assign the job plan, and it would build out the work order hierarchy. The last major bullet there is classification-based attributes. You now have the ability to classify or use classifications on almost every application, including the work order now. So you can have a classification of the work orders, and associated with those, you can have attributes for the classification. So in 6, you could classify a work order. Now you have the ability to have attributes associated with the classification. A good example for a use of this is I was out at a customer who works in the gas business, and they had this need to, because they're regulated, classify the type of work that gets done on the gas lines. And then based on those type of work that they do, they have different types of data they need to collect. So those would be the attributes that would change associated with those different classifications of the work. Okay, as we move forward here, one of the last big changes we wanted to mention tonight was around reporting. As you know, with Maximo 6, all our standard reports are written and delivered using the Actuate tool. We also have the ability to have an out-of-the-box integration with business objects or crystal reporting. And we also have an external reporting integration capability, which allows customers to integrate any reporting tool and allow them to execute those reports through Maximo. As we move to Release 7, you see the big change here is that we're now going to start using BERT as our standard reporting tool. BERT is an open source Java report engine that allows us to build all the same types of reports we delivered in Actuate. However, it's allowed us to embed this into the Maximo code, and it eliminates a lot of the issues that we've had to work around with any third-party reporting tool, but, of course, specifically with Actuate. So now when Maximo 7.1 gets installed, the reporting engine is installed with it. It gives us a lot more flexibility and eliminates several pain points that some of our large customers have run into. Now, with that said, we'll continue to support Actuate, and you'll notice here that for customers that are upgrading and have invested in Actuate, we will actually will continue to deliver and make the latest version of Actuate available to them. So we'll have Actuate 9 Service Pack 2 included in this release for those customers that are upgrading and want to continue the use of Actuate. Again, if they've invested in it and if they had, you know, created custom reports, they can take those and we'll have tools that can be used to migrate the reports that they've written and continue to use those in Maximo 7. However, we will only deliver the standard reports based on what we've written in BERT. So we'll have over 150 standard reports still available. Existing customers can continue to leverage Actuate, or we'll also have the integrations to business objects as well as the external report integration. Just one thing to note here is if we look out into the future beyond Release 7, the plan is that we will no longer deliver Actuate. However, we will continue to have an out-of-the-box integration with Actuate, similar to what we have with Business Objects Crystal and the external report integration. So those were just some of the highlights of some of the new functionalities that we'll be introducing with Release 7.1. Again, there's going to be some deeper dives into the linear asset capabilities. And at this point, I'll hand it back to Rich.
Very good, Dave. Thank you very much. All right, so we'll move on to the second aspect of our talk today regarding Maximo Asset Management 7.1 and talk about the new customer value associated with this release. And I just want to emphasize up front that the capabilities that we'll be discussing here are incremental value associated with 7.1. And, of course, all of the value that we've always spoken about with Maximo Asset Management as an EIM solution is all still very much relevant and applicable, and we should always use that going forward. The focus in today's conversation is about what is new and the value of what is new for our customers with this release. So I'd like to start by talking about the three key audiences that we've always traditionally focused on, the three buying audiences, beginning with the IT buyer, who is, just to be very clear, not an IT asset manager or not a service desk person, but in fact, the IT person who has been part of the selection process for an EAM product. And these are IT people who eventually, certainly during the buying cycle, will weigh in with their opinions and their and be part of the process, but also after the selection will be involved with the administration and implementation of the product. So these are very important people in terms of their influence on the sales cycle in most cases. The line of business operations person, this is the plant manager, this is the maintenance supervisor, the facilities managers. These are the people for whom this is an important solution for them on a day-to-day basis, the operations, the functions of what they're responsible for day in, day out. Regarding the uptime, availability, and reliability of these assets relates very specifically to what these line of business users consider in a purchase decision. And then lastly, the business buyer, the CXO, these are people who are responsible for the overall general success of the enterprise. And these might be finance people, they might be accounting types, they might be people who worry about risk management. And so what we'll do now is look at the value statements associated with Maximo 7.1 for each one of these buying audiences. In the first case, starting with the IT buyer, the fact that we've added linear asset management is, in fact, a major step forward. And this is part of our overall strategy relating to the completeness of our solution for managing all of these different types of classes of assets that I was referring to earlier in the presentation, which is to say the production equipment, facilities, transportation assets, IT assets, and now linear assets. And the fact that customers can manage all of these different types of critical enterprise assets from one single solution, from one vendor, is a significant advantage for our customers and an advantage for us as well. So what it means for an IT buyer is that they don't have to buy multiple solutions from many different niche vendors in order to address the needs of those managing those different types of assets. And in fact, it turns into, with Maximo 7.1, a more efficient IT organization because they're not buying different software from different vendors. They're not buying more hardware, servers, operating systems, and maintaining all those different systems from all those different vendors. It's just one product. The next point here has to do with the migration management, the capabilities for customers who are using Maximo to put it into a development environment, and then from there very efficiently and effectively promote it to a test environment before they finally bring it into production use. And some of the advantages now that you saw earlier from Dave have to do with the greater efficiency with which IT organizations can smoothly move the work they've done in each one of those steps into final production use. Our advancements in terms of the interface, which has always been a very strong aspect of Maximo, the intuitive user interface is a strength of the product, and we continue to push that forward and make improvements in that front. And this, again, is something that gives us competitive advantage against other EAM products. It has to do with what you heard from Dave relating to the conditional user interface for more efficient interaction and more efficient use of the end users when they're inputting data or they're looking for data or they're interacting with the product. And then the enhanced control of access to important information has to do with the greater focus today on regulatory compliance and risk management, making sure that the use of the capabilities here regarding dynamic security and the ability to restrict access to certain parts of the product and certain pieces of information and data is something that helps customers manage the risk and be able to more closely comply with regulations all over the world, depending on which country they might be in. Those might differ, but this is an advancement in capability that's new with Maximo 7. And then lastly, the fact that we are now adding the support for this J2E reporting engine, making it now possible for customers to more efficiently use a robust reporting server, a reporting solution, without having to use or implement an unnecessary reporting server in addition to what they've already got. Moving on to looking at the benefits for the CXO audience. Again, we're looking now at the benefits of the addition to linear asset management to the portfolio of assets that can be managed. The fact that now linear assets are types of assets in the infrastructure that can be managed more deeply with more sophistication and more effectively managed. And this can be something that's relevant to a variety of different industries. In the rail industry, it has to do with linear assets like railroad tracks and the signals and structures along the railroad tracks. State departments of transportation, managing the roadways associated with those departments. And cities and counties who all have, in many cases, responsibility for managing roadways and highways that all fit into this category of linear assets that now can be more effectively managed using this linear asset capability. In the case of utilities, it has to do with managing things like pipes and wires and telecommunications, it's cable, and in the oil and gas industry, it has to do with managing pipelines. And here again, the business audience is equally concerned about being compliant with regulatory requirements and reporting requirements and also managing risk and doing that through the capabilities of using the dynamic security that's new within the product and being able to hide fields and prevent different types of users or classes of users from viewing information that they should not have access to or be able to view or be able to have read rights to. So being able to control access to information is something that's very important to many customers now as we move into this more regulated environment. And then the next category here has to do with the line of business buyer that I was referring to earlier as well, which for these buyers, it has to do with the linear asset management for those operations people who are responsible for managing the rail or managing highways or managing pipelines, depending on which of the industries they're in, being able to do a better job of making sure that those assets are functionally performing properly or that they are living up to the or meeting the standards that are required for their performance and using the capabilities with linear asset management to be able to take advantage of those capabilities to manage them more effectively. And then also for these line of business users, it has to do with the user interface and the improvements there that we continue to make with this product and making it easier for them to access information, making it easier for them to navigate the user interface and to relate to the product more effectively, more quickly, and more efficiently. So those are the three audiences. Again, the business buyer, the IT buyer, and the line of business buyer. And now I'd like to also take another look at our messaging as it relates to the visibility, control, and automation framework that we use throughout Tivoli for all of our products. And this visibility, control, and automation structure as a theme behind our messaging applies just as well to Maximo 7.1 and what's new in this release. In this first case, we see how the new capabilities give our users, give our customers more visibility to more information about their assets. And here again is where linear asset management plays a role. By having access to information, so for example, on a highway between mile marker 15 and mile marker 18, and understanding that in fact there is a unique characteristic or unique attributes associated with that segment of highway, or an equally a different segment of pipe or transmission line in the utility industry. And having visibility to that unique information and access to those attributes associated with those segments of assets is very important to our customers and something that we now do a better job with Maximo 7.1. And then with regards to control, by virtue of having this visibility and access to this information, it now empowers the users to be able to exert more control, which is to say to be able to fix and repair and otherwise optimize the performance of all these different types of assets because they have access to this information that they didn't have before, and be able to control, in another sense, who has access to different types of information, and being able to use these capabilities for managing the workflow associated with the different types of assets and who needs to perform different types of work under what circumstances, and being able to relate that to the service level agreements, which now takes us onto the next category relating to the importance of automation with Maximo 7.1, and being able to relate service level commitments and in an automated fashion take advantage of the workflow and combine that with the asset information and information about workforce and inventory and put all that together into an automated business process that can take a user through the steps required in order to optimize the performance of their different types of assets. And take advantage of these new features around linear asset management, the conditional user interface we heard about, and drive that automation to more efficiently manage these different types of assets in the enterprise. So that wraps up both a description of the new capabilities inside Maximo 7.1, the messaging and the value statements around the product. And now I'd like to move on to the third subject for today, having to do with pricing and packaging. And just to make it very simple for people to understand, what is new from Maximo 6 to version 7 is that what it comes down to is that there are no new packaging changes for Maximo Asset Management from version 6 to version 7. What we've done is add new capability in the form of this option that is now available, Maximo Linear Asset Manager, and again, you'll hear more about that from Ken Donnelly in a few weeks. And we've also shipped a new, we will be shipping a new release of Maximo Asset Management Essentials for the general business market. So very little in the way of packaging changes other than these two releases. Regarding pricing, there is very little change as we move from Maximo 6 to Maximo 7 related to pricing. However, there are some changes that we've made, some adjustments or modifications to both secondary users, and we've introduced a clarity and a better sense of understanding around how we take advantage of trade-up and add-on pricing for industry solutions. So I will step through these one at a time. Before I do that, I want to be very clear, very specific for people to understand the different types of license metrics we have for our EIM products. In the first case, we have an authorized user, which is what we've known as a registered user. That term registered user will continue to be used in FCT. Authorized user is the same term now applied in Passport Advantage, or a different term for the same type of license, rather, used in Passport Advantage, and you'll hear more about Passport Advantage shortly. But we've got this first metric around authorized user, basically the single user of the product. We have limited use authorized user. This is a longer name of what was formerly known as the secondary user in FCT, and that name will continue to be used in FCT. We will use this new name, limited use authorized user, in Passport Advantage. We also have the authorized user trade-up, and so we'll talk about that in more detail as to exactly how that trade-up pricing works. but it is a license metric that has to do with industry solutions. The asset license metric has to do with per asset pricing, and it's only relevant for the Maximo Asset Configuration Manager. And then lastly, we have an install metric that has to do with the Maximo Asset Compliance documentation, Maximo Spatial Asset Management, and the Internal Service Provider product. So those are the five license metrics that everybody should be familiar with. There's still some difference depending on whether or not these customers will be using FCT or Passport Advantage, but it boils down to these same five. To look at the pricing for Maximo 7.1 in specifics, here is on this chart the list of the products and the price points associated with the authorized user. These prices have not changed. Maximo Asset Management at $44.74. The Maximo Asset Management Limited Use, again formerly known as Secondary User, is $22.37 per user. The Maximo Asset Management Essentials is $17.75, and I will not get into that in great detail here because there will be a whole dedicated Tivoli talk on that particular subject in a couple weeks. The industry pricing is, as you see it here, you can see the uplift percentages. And as you know, we changed our model. We modified it some time ago, probably at the time of transfer of trade, where the industry solutions, when they're sold today, are not sold as a combination of the linear of the industry solution and the Maximo Asset Management product, put together the two pieces into one box. We sell it just as one box, so it's just one solution, the industry solution for life sciences, government, transportation, nuclear, oil and gas, or utilities. So you can see the price points here. It is calculated using these uplift percentages, but the uplift is only for our internal understanding to give you an idea of how we arrived at those price points based on the functionality in those different industry solutions. But those percentage uplifts are not relevant for customers. And then the add-on trade-up authorized user price, I'll talk about this in more detail, but you can see what those price values are on this chart as well. So let's dive in and spend a little bit more time looking at what we mean by trade-up and add-on pricing. And in the first case, the trade-up pricing is used when a customer has previously purchased IBM Maximo Asset Management, and at a subsequent point in time, they have decided that they want to take advantage of the features in one of the industry solutions. And at that point in time, we offer them the opportunity to trade up to that additional functionality at this trade-up price. And if you think about the uplift percentages on the prior chart, the example here is around the Maximo for Transportation product is calculated at a 20% uplift. The trade-up price is $1,500, which is to say that if a customer wants to buy at a subsequent date the transportation features in that industry solution, they would pay a price of $1,500 per authorized user. And one of the benefits by charging an incrementally higher price for a future at a future date for that customer to upgrade to that industry solution is that it offers an incentive to that customer at the time of the initial sale to buy that industry solution capability and do it at a lower total cost of ownership. I have an example. I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail on the next slide. At the bottom of this chart is a reference to add-on pricing, and frankly, we don't expect to see this as a very common event, but what we're saying here is that in those instances where a single user at a customer is buying multiple industry solutions. And so if for some reason a customer is buying a product from us for a user, Joe Smith, is a user of Maximo Oil and Gas, and that same person, Joe Smith, is also a user of the Maximo Maximo for Transportation solution, we charge them the add-up price rather than the full price of the combined two industry solutions. So rather than paying, in this case, for that one user, $53.69 for the oil and gas solution, and then again $53.69 for the transportation solution, we just simply price this such that they pay the full price for one of the industry solutions, and then the add-on price, as you see here, $1,500, to be able to add that additional industry solution functionality for that same individual specific user. Let's look at an example on the next slide to make this a little bit more clear. In the case of this trade-up pricing and how this works, let's take the example of a trucking company, which in this case has 50 mechanics, let's say, to maintain a fleet of 200 trucks. And they also have 10 facilities maintenance people who are responsible for maintaining the garage and the warehouse and perhaps an office building associated with this trucking company. Now, that customer has the choice of buying at the initial purchase a total of 60 licenses of IBM Maximo Asset Management, and that would work out to be 60 times 4474. And again, that's at list price. Now, at a later date, if that same customer came to believe that it was important for them to have the Maximo for Transportation industry solution functionality, they could do that, and they would pay for those 50 mechanics $50 times $1,500 per user. And so the total there would be for the combined initial purchase plus the subsequent later purchase at a future date, a total of $343,000. So that's the two-step sales process having to do with how trade-up pricing works. Now, the alternative model here and the way in which we'd like to incent customers to buy the full industry solution at the time of the initial sale is as we see here on the right, which is to say the customer would buy, for those 10 facilities maintenance people, 10 licenses of IBM Maximo Asset Management, and then for the 50 mechanics, they would buy the IBM Maximo for Transportation industry solution. And you can see how the math would work, 50 times 5369 plus 10 times 4474 for a total deal of $313,000. So there is a financial incentive here that we're offering the customer to buy the more complete solution at the initial point of purchase. Moving on and talking about how industry solution pricing works in a situation where a single customer is buying multiple industry solution products from us at one time. It's important to clarify this a little bit. I think that this has been handled a little bit differently in the past, and this is not new with Maximo 7, but I just want to take the opportunity today to run through this example here and clarify how this might work in this example here for a utility customer who is buying these different types of EAM products. So in this example, they have one nuclear power plant, let's say with 350 end users associated with maintaining that nuclear power plant. They have two fossil plants for which they have 400 end users. They have a fleet of trucks, and they have 30 fleet mechanics maintaining those trucks. And then they have 50 people who are responsible for maintaining the different buildings. And then in addition to that, there is a purchasing department in which there are 20 people who are associated with the purchasing of MRO material to support this utility customer. So we're looking at, in this case, when you add it all up, a total of 850 users, of which 830 are primary and 20 are secondary users. So the way this works is that they would simply buy the numbers of licenses for each one of these different types of industry solutions. So 400 users of the utilities industry solution, 30 for the fleet mechanics of the transportation industry solution, 350 of the nuclear power solution. And then for the people maintaining the building, they would buy 50 licenses of the IBM Maximo Asset Management product. And then for the people in the purchasing department, they would buy 20 limited-use IBM Maximo licenses. So this hopefully is fairly straightforward, fairly simple. I think in the past it was a little bit complicated because there were conversations about license sync and whether or not all 850 users inside the environment had to buy a copy of each one of these industry solutions. And there was some discussion about that in the past, and I just wanted to take the opportunity today to clarify that. This next slide now gets into secondary users and the licenses associated with that. And again, this is now called the Limited Use Authorized User License in Passport Advantage. These policies associated with secondary user licenses are largely unchanged from Maximo 6 to Maximo 7. There are a couple points here which are indicated with the arrows that, in fact, are some changes that were agreed upon with the sales management team. But the intent here is to be able to offer the sort of flexibility to accommodate different types of user roles and use types of Maximo inside many of our customers today. So the decision here associated with this is to keep the secondary user license, the limited use authorized user license, intact for the base product of Maximo Asset Management. However, we've also concluded that it makes the most sense to eliminate secondary user licenses for the Maximo EAM industry solutions. And there's a variety of reasons behind this. The logic is sounds, and it has to do with the fact that quite often most of our users who take advantage of all the deep functionality in these vertical industry solutions are power users of our products, and that the use of secondary user licenses is generally not appropriate for these industry users, industry solution users. In addition to that, we also found that there was a great deal of inconsistency and differences in which secondary user licenses were applied to Maximo Industry Solutions over the past year and a half. So we, through this change, are clarifying this policy. The rest of this is by and large unchanged. Customers who are buying these licenses have the alternative of choosing 3 of 8 modules to define that license. And if they need to have users who require more than 3 modules in the product, they need to buy a primary or authorized user license of Maximo Asset Management. There is no option for a customer to come back and say, listen, I only need 1 or 2 modules. I want to do that at a lower price. Can you cut me a deal and let's just buy a bunch of these secondary user licenses at fewer than 3 modules? We found that it's very difficult to implement, and it's very difficult to enforce, and it's a challenge for us to sell into those sorts of situations. The modules that make up that set of 8 from which customers can choose to define this license type are the ones that you see here. So assets, contracts, inventory, planning, PMs, purchasing, safety, and work orders. Those are the 8 modules, and customers are allowed to choose 3 of those to constitute the secondary user license. It applies to all of the secondary users at the customer site. Now, the pricing for these secondary user licenses are 50% of list price. That amounts to $2,237 per user. This last point is one of the other aspects of secondary user licensing that has changed from Maximo 6 to Maximo 7, which has to do with a policy now that requires that there be no more than 3 secondary users for every 1 registered user, authorized user, in place or purchased by the customer. And this 3-to-1 ratio is intended to put some sense of control on the application or the use of these types of license types in the customer account. Now, I just want to emphasize that these are policies. These are not these are, in fact, able to be negotiated depending on the current customer situation. And I just want to emphasize that if there's at any time in any account a prospective customer who has a need for some flexibility around these policies, this is something that can be accommodated. It does, however, require some justification, probably directly with Lee Blakemore. We're still working out the policy for this escalation process, but either Lee directly or his direct reports. And so the point here is that we've tried to attach some greater clarity, some more control over the use of secondary user licenses, but there is some flexibility in the way they can be used. So to give an example of how secondary user licensing works, we'll take this case of a manufacturing company. They've got 25 maintenance workers. There are 3 plant supervisors who approve any work order that involves a shutdown of the production line. And there are 2 safety supervisors who are required to approve any work order that involves dangerous equipment. And the workflow that's been built into Maximo to support this scenario automatically routes the work orders to those supervisors for their approval. So in this case, in this example, we have IBM Maximo Asset Management, of which the customer would buy 25 licenses, and then 5 of these limited use secondary user license types for the 5 plant supervisors, and the 3 plant supervisors and the 2 safety supervisors who need to approve those special work orders. So the way this math works out is, as you see below, 25 times 4474 plus 5 times 2237. So hopefully that's fairly clear and straightforward. Also today, I was going to take a few minutes to talk about mobile user licensing. I understand this has been a question that's come up in the past. This is nothing that's changed with Maximo 7, but I wanted to just offer some clarity around this. And if there are some additional questions, we have Tivoli Talks that have been done on this topic in the past, and we can certainly accommodate any questions in the future. We have 2 Maximo Mobile products, the Mobile Work Manager and the Maximo Mobile Inventory Manager, and you can see the prices on this slide. The example here, just to explain how this pricing works, is a facilities maintenance department They have 10 maintenance people supporting 3 remote work warehouses, and they have 1 headquarters office building that's maintained. 4 of these 10 maintenance people also have access to workstations because they happen to be working in the corporate headquarters office building. And then there's 1 maintenance supervisor who's also based in that office building. So in this scenario, in order to manage work, they would buy 10 Maximo Mobile Work Manager licenses for those 10 remote users who are supporting those buildings, of which there are an additional 4 users, 4 of the 10, also, because they have access to workstations, would need to be buying a full license of Maximo Asset Management. And then for the Maximo Asset, then for the supervisor, who also has full access to the product, there would be an additional license of Maximo Asset Management for that person as well. So here's how the math works out. It's 10 times 2772 for the Maximo Mobile Work Manager licenses. 4 of those 10 who also have access to workstations and the full use of the Maximo Asset Management product, 4 times 4474. And then the supervisor who is not using the mobile product but only the Maximo Asset Management license, an additional 4474. The next aspect of pricing and packaging that I'd like to touch on today has to do with migration entitlement, and there's a couple aspects of this that I'd like to go on to describe on this chart. In the first case, we talk about Maximo Change Manager, which was a product that we shipped with Maximo 6, and it was comprised of the change and release applications. There were instances where this was an important set of applications used by our EAM customers. And the migration I wanted to explain here is that we have a product that was actually released last quarter called Maximo Change and Corrective Action Manager 7.1. It includes the same change and release applications. It also includes incident and problem management applications. And this is only for, this migration entitlement is only for EAM customers who bought the Maximo Change Manager product in the past. And this is the new product that they would be entitled to, the Maximo Change and Corrective Action Manager. And this has also been covered in a previous Tivoli talk. The next item here on this chart is with respect to the Maximo Incident and Problem Manager. This product went to end of market. It was discontinued at the time of transfer of trade, April of 2007. And it was consisting of the incident and problem applications. The entitlement for those customers was to move them to the Tivoli Service Request Manager product. This next slide has to do with a couple other items that are important to understand, but not necessarily big items. The first case here has to do with the Maximo Usage Monitor product. It was built into Maximo 7. It's been added to the core product. It will be available to ship as a version 6.2 on demand as customers need it for Maximo 6 customers. But in the future, it will be baked into and built into Maximo 7. And then similarly, Maximo Field Control, which has been discontinued, end of market, with release of 7.1 because the field control functionality is built into 7.1. So with that, at this point, I will turn this over to Hee Shim to spend a few minutes talking about some of the upcoming Tivoli talks and some of the Tivoli talks that were recorded on previous dates available as resources and reference.
Thank you, Rich. And I just wanted to take the time and let you know that there are many resources that have been created and made available for your training and education, not only for the product, but also for industry-related topics as well. The first couple of topics, the slides talk about the Tivoli talks. For every Maximo new release or industry solution we have brought in the market, we've had a Tivoli talks. What you see here is not an all-inclusive list, and I highly recommend that you actually go to the Tivoli talk link, which I have included in this slide, and to take a look at all the ones that we have done so far, as well as the ones that we will continue to do. One of the important things that you should do is make sure you are are on the distribution list for the Tivoli Talk announcement and the sales flash. And if you don't have that, please send me an email. I am hshim@us.ibm.com. And as you can see, we'll continue to do add to this Tivoli Talk listing, and you can see that in May we already have things scheduled, such as Maximo Internal Service Provider option recording. The second slide, the next slide, shows that we also have had many CCM DB 7.1 related Tivoli Talks as well. So I highly recommend that you go out to these sites and take a look and leverage what has already been done. The next two slides talk about TVSA. It's a Tivoli Virtual Sales Academy, and it is something that we have introduced the beginning of this year. And if you go to Asset Management, for example, you will find over 80 learning modules that have been created and posted here. Now, all the product management team as well as the industry management team, market management team, have spent countless hours putting their expertise in these modules. And so you will see things such as the trends and directions and strategies for EAM, for SRM and ITAM, and as well as you would also see how to sell Maximo or what Maximo means in different utilities such as transportation or utilities, industry, as well as life sciences and so on. So I really highly recommend you go out there and leverage these resources because they have been created specifically for you guys. I have also included here the link, TVSA Asset Management, and as well as some of the other resources that are available, such as the VCA messages that we have and what that means for each industry as well. The next slide shows the extreme leverage. As we make more of the resources and the learning modules available for 7.1, we will continue to post them in extreme leverage. And also you will find all the online Passport Advantage training and tools made available on extreme leverage as well. So I really highly recommend you guys go out and leverage these things that are created. And with that, operator, please let's proceed to...
Thank you very much. At this time, we will take questions from our telephone audience. If you would like to ask a question today, you can do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. If you are using a speakerphone, please ensure that your mute function is off so we can receive your signal. Now we have our first question, Tim Homan.
This question is for Rich. Hello, everybody. Thank you for the good information. Rich, In your listing of secondary users, you seem to have a subset of the actual modules that are listed in the LI document. And I'm just trying to understand which one is the right way to go. Is this smaller listing just for version 7, or you know, what's the ruling on what are modules that we can include in secondary users?
Yeah, Tim, thanks. You know, it's actually not supposed to be different, so I'll have to take a look at that and understand why there's a difference there, but it's not supposed to be. So we'll clarify that and get back.
Great, thanks.
Our next question will come from Matt Dykton.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. This is probably for Dave Gazdia or Rich. When we go into the linear assets, for customers that have modeled corridors or other linear assets in an older version of Maximo today, are there going to be any utilities that would take those and bring those assets forward now in a smart way to put them into the new, to take advantage of the new linear assets, or is that all going to be a manual process?
Yeah, hi Matt, this is Dave. Yeah, that's going to have to be a manual process. If someone has found a way to enter a linear asset in the current model, yeah, we have no tooling that will map that to how we do it now in 7.1.
That'll just be all a one-off kind of thing, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Our next question will come from Russ Anderton.
Yeah, this is a question for Dave, I think. With the 7.1 enhancements, have we done anything to help either with the diagnosis or of issues at customer sites or performance. I have a lot of customers that I'm dealing with around performance issues, and I'm just wondering if there's been any focus on that on the development side, whether it's the diagnostic side or whether it's the performance side.
Sure, and actually both of those. We have regular Maximo advisory council meetings with customers, and over the last year, through that process, we formed a what I'd call a tiger team to focus on addressing some of the performance issues. As a result of that, we've got documentation now on how to modify the system to maximize performance. There's also been some code changes that we've made to make Maximo perform a little bit better. So there's a combination of things that we've done. This will be an ongoing process, too. It's not something that we're just going to drop. We have this group that's going to continue to focus on it. The other part of that is the monitoring piece and how do you help diagnose problems. And so what we're in the process of doing is there's a number of Tivoli tools that we are investigating the use of to help with this diagnostic process. And there's a Tivoli monitoring tool specifically that we're going to probably end up using that will help identify bottlenecks in any of the processing within Maximo. So that will be something that isn't going to be initially available with 7.1. We have a team working on it. We hope to have it available by the end of the year.
Thanks.
Okay.
Next we hear from Al Layton.
Hey, Richard, Dave, good information. Thanks for this stuff. One question, though. Can either one of you address when customers, current customers that are on 5.2 as an example, can actually upgrade to 7X if they're on SQL Server? But
sure.
Also as it relates to upgrading if they're using VEA, WebSphere, DB2,
yep.
Any of those types of things.
Sure.
Will that information be available?
Hi, Al. This is Dave. Sure. A big change for us on the Maximo side is that when we deliver Maximo 7.1, the upgrade will be available within a couple of weeks. So basically the same time that we deliver the product for new customers, we'll have the upgrade available as well. So for regardless of Oracle or SQL Server, the upgrade will be basically available when we release the product. If a customer is on 4.1.1 or 5.2, it still will be a multi-step upgrade. In other words, they're going to have to upgrade if they're on 4.1.1 through 5.2 and 6, and then 6 to 7. If you're on 5, you have to go from 5 to 6, 6 to 7. That's more for the actual database portion of the upgrade. They don't actually have to stop and implement 6 along the way. So that'll be available right away. I guess the other thing to mention is that the languages, again, will be available when we initially release the product. So the Tier 1 languages, which is like 9 or 10 languages, will be available at the same time we do the initial release for the product, which, again, is a big change for us. When as MRO, we used to have to distribute the languages over a period of time.
Right, yeah, well, and the databases as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So then if 7 is released May 16th or sometime in May, whenever it was,
yep.
The upgrade should be available by the first part of June to the middle of June at the latest.
Correct.
Okay. Well, that's good news. Thank you. That's good. Thanks.
Emmett Cook has our next question.
Yeah, hey, Dave. I have a couple of customers that are legacy. They're on 6, and they're using Actuate, and they have a lot of reports written in Actuate. And one of the things they have asked me is there going to be a utility to take their reports that are in Actuate today and convert them over to the BERT reporting system? Is that going to be available to them, or is this something that's going to be they're going to be faced with converting this themselves?
Yeah, the customers that have invested quite a bit into Actuate will have basically the ability to continue to use those reports in 7. So for upgrading customers, we will make the next version of Actuate, which is Actuate 9, Service Pack 2 that we're testing with, available to them. So they can take any of their custom reports, and we'll have a utility that will migrate them from Actuate 8 to up to Actuate 9 so they can run with 7.1. Now, we will not have a utility to convert actuate reports to BERT. The coding is different, as you can imagine, with any reporting tool. And if they choose to create new custom reports in BERT, they would have to write those themselves.
Hey, Dave, just a follow-up to that. The other question they had for me was, is there any knowledge that our development group has as far as if there is no utility like that, what level of effort's involved with converting to BERT?
Yeah, I guess the first thing to just clarify here is that, you know, when we deliver all our standard reports in BERT, again, we'll have about 150 reports that will be available. Customers will have the ability to use both BERT and Actuate. So if they want to just modify one of the BERT reports, they could. For example, like modify the work order detail report, they could. But they could also continue to use their Actuate custom reports that they might have written for any kind of managerial reporting. As far as the conversion process, that's something, Emmett, I may have to follow up and get back to you on. I'm not sure. I'd have to talk to some of our developers who I think they ended up rewriting all the standard reports. They may have looked at some of the coding that they had within the Actuate reports versus different select and queries involved in generating the reports. But I don't think...
Okay. Thank you.
It's kind of a tool that was used to rewrite them.
Yeah, this is from your friends at BOC Gas, so...
we meet with them quite...
Right. This is a big question for them. All right, thanks.
Our next question comes from Rod Mosley.
Hey, good morning, Dave and Rich. Great presentation. Appreciate it. I have a question, one for each of you. Dave, when you were doing your presentation, you were talking about the dynamic fields, being able to hide fields or make them visible depending on security.
Sure.
Would that be taken down to the handheld device also? So let's say if I have a pipeline company that's doing inspection on a pipeline on a handheld device, would those attributes be carried down to the handheld, to Maximo handheld?
That's a good question, Rod. I want to say initially no, but I can follow up with Dave Havikin and get back to you on that.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I mean, that's the reason why I say initially no is because the security works a little differently on the UI of the mobile than it does in the core product. So I'll make a note to get back to you.
Okay, yeah, and thank you, because I'm working with three pipeline companies right now, and as you know, compliance is a big deal for them.
Yeah, and that was one of the big examples. I was out with Vectren, and as part of they're in the natural gas, which has pipelines and whatnot, and as a regulated customer, you're right, depending on the type of work that they do, they want to capture different information. So use of the attributes or some of the dynamic capabilities is the way to go.
Right.
Okay, I'll follow up with my team and get back to you.
Thanks, Dave. And then over to you, Rich. I'm still a little confused on the secondary user license. I know I've called you in the past. If I have a Maximo user and they're using Maximo for, let's say, the EAM portion and also for the purchasing portion, so they could have two different limited users, if you would. Going forward, do we still have to classify those modules? Or are those two groups just considered now limited users?
Well, the intent behind the definition of these secondary users has been for a while now to be limited to those three modules that are selected. And
right.
The choice of those selected modules needs to apply to all different groups or all employees inside that customer. So we specifically don't want to have customers picking and choosing one set of three modules for one department and then go to a different department and pick and choose another set of three modules for them. So if I understand your question right, it sounds like that's perhaps the case with the customer you're talking about.
Right, because as you can imagine, on the purchasing side, they have different functionalities and needs than the people, you know, necessarily on the work management side. So they both have, you know, limited users, and if I have multiple solutions, if I had transportation, oil and gas, then those users also would have different, you know, limited users within those applications.
Right. So this is I understand the issue. I understand what you're describing. It's not how it's set up today. It's set up as I described, but I understand the circumstances. And so my recommendation would be to bring this forward for discussion with me and Mark Lee Blakemore, whoever else is appropriate, and we can talk about what to do in this specific case.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Med Amer.
Hey, this question is for Dave. I have three questions for you. When is the beta code will be available if we need to go early?
Well, right now, the way we're doing beta is we've got development partners that we've been working with, and we've got actually hosted environments that they've been accessing. It's making the code available through our sales engineers. We have a VM image that we've made available, and I guess if we could make that available to other people as well.
Okay, I'll ask it. The other question I have, do you need CCMDB 7.1 as base for the asset management piece?
No.
No.
No, they're separate products. They can work together. However, there's no requirement to have them both.
Okay. The last question I have is the accelerator code will be part of this 7.1 release?
Accelerator code for which product is that for?
For Maximo 7.1.
I'm not aware of the accelerator.
Okay. All right. You answered my question. Thank you.
Okay.
As a reminder, it is *1 if you would like to ask a question. And next we'll take a follow-up question from Al Layton.
Hey, Dave, I forgot to ask a question. On the upgrades using I have a customer from 5.2. They're wanting to upgrade to 7X. They're on SQL Server. What versions of SQL Server do we support?
We have a matrix that will be that I could send out, Al. I'm not sure offhand.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure we'll
be, send that?
I think we'll be supporting SQL Server, what is it, 2005? I'm not sure if there's a more recent version.
2005, okay. Yeah, the specific question they asked me was, will we support SQL Server 2008?
I can check, Al.
Okay, if you wouldn't mind, just let me know. That'd be great. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
Thorsten Jurgens has our next question.
Yeah, hello, thank you. My question is regarding asset management essentials, what I'm selling for the GB market. Will we have a kind of product description guide for this part?
I'm not sure if we're creating a separate product description guide. We have to look into that and whether or not there's time for us to create something like that. But I suspect that we will probably make one available.
Yeah, it would be very helpful to see the difference between the essential part and the main product. That is the one question. And the other thing is, will there be a different demo environment for our pre-sales colleagues, especially for the essential part, or how do we handle this?
I actually don't know the answer to that question right now. I'm not sure if there's a demo environment being specifically created for Maximo Essentials.
Okay.
I'm not aware of it.
I'm not aware of
okay.
if there is. As far as the product guide goes, though, I believe we do have a draft of a product guide for Essentials, and we should be able to finalize that and then make that available to the sales team.
Oh, great. Thank you.
This is Hisham. The demo environment for Essentials, there will be a VMware demo that will be made available.
Oh, great.
Our next question comes from Mark Cruzen.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to clarify the question about the accelerators, Dave. That's GTS has built accelerators for our IT solutions, and I think that the question's a valid question, and I'll take that back to research. But I'm fairly confident that those accelerators are going to be available in 7 as they were in 6.
Anything further from Mr. Cruzen?
That's it.
Thank you very much. Again, as a reminder, *1 to ask a question, and we'll take a follow-up from Rod Mosley.
Hey, Dave. One other question. You mentioned earlier that we would be able to have multiple assets on a work order.
which is great. I also have some customers that manage assets that have multiple owners. So would I also be able to put multiple charge codes on an asset?
Yeah, this first pass at adding the multiple assets to the work order, it does not roll down to the GL level.
Okay.
So there's still only a single GL on the work order header.
Okay.
Okay, so this is really for more simple routes. We do plan to address the multiple GLs as it's coming up as a requirement in the linear space, where you might have, say you're managing a track of railroad, depending on different portions, there's different GLs or whatever that need to capture the maintenance costs.
Right.
That's on our plan for a future release. We know we're going to have to do it. It's pretty high priority. But it's not there for 7.1.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Yep.
And at this time, there are no questions in the queue. I will now turn the conference back over to our hosts for any closing or additional remarks.
Hi, so this is Tony Hodge. I'd like to thank our speakers for today, the information and the time that they spent. I think the information was very valuable and clearly a topic that everyone has been waiting for. I think this was one of the most heavily attended Tivoli talks that we've seen so far. So we will continue to bring you this kind of valuable commentary. Many of you have asked already for the presentation from today. We will have that posted on Extreme Leverage by Monday, and I will put the link in the group chat on the webcast at this time. If you'll bookmark that and continue to look for the link, you should see the presentation available by Monday. And at this time, if there are no further questions, I'd like to say thank you again and good selling. Thank you.
And that does conclude our conference call. Thank you for joining us today.